Welcome, everyone. Welcome, 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 welcome on this beautiful evening. It's good to have you all here. And I want to just start out by acknowledging each one of you who's on the call, who's taking an hour tonight to find out if it's possible to shift your experience of money and find some balance and support. As usual, we will continue to hear the bell ring through the first few minutes as people continue to join us. And as you join us, we're glad to have you with us. I'm Leslie Nipps. I'm talking to you from Oakland, California. I have a private practice here doing healing work with people both privately and in workshops and trainings and series like this. I am a successful small business owner and an alternative practitioner, and I've been through the ups and downs that come with having created a practice that, thank God, I now can trust and which carries me. And I'm delighted to share some of my insights and learning with you tonight. I want to say hello to all of you, some of you whom I know, and a bunch of you I don't, a bunch of new names on the call tonight, which is great. So I'm joined by current clients, some old friends, and some new people. And it really is a joy to be with you here tonight. Just a couple of logistics before we get started. You might want to find on your phone keypad *6. That will be your way to raise your hand. Mostly, I'm going to ask you to refrain from raising your hand until the specific moments when I'm going to invite some feedback or comments or questions. However, there can be times, very rarely, there are technical problems with this service, and I don't know it. I just keep talking, and I don't know that there are problems. So hit *6 if there are any technical problems, and I will know I need to stop and find out what's going on. I also invite everyone to get some paper and pen for some of the exercises later in the workshop and to jot down any insights you might have. I want to tell you what we're going to do tonight. First, I'm going to do a little teaching on worth in our families, because worth is really what's behind any difficulties we're having with money, how that can get stuck and how it can get cleared up. Now, hopefully in a way that gives you an entirely new framework for thinking about your money stuff. I'm going to share a little bit of my journey with money in the hope that it will help and encourage you. Hope it does that. I'm going to do a powerful and lengthy exercise in about 15 minutes or so, the intention of which is to begin to clarify what's going on in your family with respect to wealth and money, and just get started on clearing your experience of it so you can start experiencing something new right now, tonight. And at the end, I'm going to share with you some resources for clearing your experience of money in a continuing and very deep, enduring way. Finally, as you all know, hopefully, so thank you for turning up on this call live. You're all going to be entered in a raffle to have a free one-hour private phone session with me. That's effectively a $125 value. Delighted to share that with you. I'm going to pick the winner from a hat. I promise it's anonymous from the list of people who are on the call by the end of the night. There'll also be one last integrating exercise at the very end, so I really do encourage you to stay through the end of the call. It's going to have a nice beginning, middle, and end. We're all here tonight because we want to have financial security and feel like we can trust our experience of money. And many of us on the call struggle with this. I want to start out by saying what this call is not going to be. It is not going to be a rah-rah accelerated learning seminar in which I tell you that money is easily accessible and all you have to do is change your attitude to have as much of it as you want. For the kind of people who are attracted to my work, which I assume includes most of you on the call, I hope that's true, there's a bit of an unease with this kind of stance. Yes, we all believe in the fundamental abundance of the universe, of the creator, of reality, but in some ways this stance ignores something important about our culture and our world, and which in one of its manifestations can show up in the stark reality of inequality that we see all around us. So the question is, what would it mean to have a respectful, abundant experience of money that's in full integrity with your values and also honors the realities of the world that we live in? I think that's what we're all kind of wanting. So let me just talk a bit about worth and how it gets confused a bit. There are lots of ways in which money gets scrambled up in our culture, but one reason is that money has gotten kind of woven in with the question of what we are worth. Our parents had to pay for the cost of our birth. Yeah, everything costs something. But here is my presupposition. I assume it's a presupposition for everybody on the call, is that everyone on this call and everyone in the world, no matter how much money they have, is of infinite worth. Yeah, just right off the top, let's kind of establish this. If this is true, then how much money we have and how successful we are at reaching our financial goals is no measure of our worth, period. So the friends that you have, the people that you know, who seem to be kind of doing okay with their relationship with their finances, and your friends and you who perhaps have some struggle, neither of these are any kind of gauge of your worth. So somehow we have to start unentangling the question of our worthiness in the world from anything that might be going on with us in money. The other thing that I want to establish is that even though we put prices on things, it's all a bit of a fiction. It's all a bit of a mass hallucination. What do I mean by that? Imagine that there's someone on this phone call who is a hypnotist. That's what they do for their work. And they help someone stop smoking. And let's say they charge them $500 for that. What the heck? Let's just say that. For the person who got to quit smoking through the good work of this person, the worth of that is infinite. It's the old MasterCard commercial, right? It's priceless. But we've got to put a price on it somehow. I mean, the hypnotist cannot go to the person and say, give me all your money, or find an infinite amount of money for this infinite thing I'm going to do for you, right? Somehow we have a set of standards around what things cost, but it's not purely indicative of what they're worth. I would like to even state that going to a movie, which costs $10 to $15, yeah, if we sort of place it in a life of recreation and leisure and joy and entertainment and imagine a life without any of those things, going to the movie becomes infinitely valuable. Yeah. So the first thing we have to do is find some way to disentangle this whole issue of our worth, the worth of what we do, the worth of what we offer, from prices, debts, what we owe, how much we need to get by in a month. Notice how your worth and what you have are not remotely related. I invite you to take a breath into that. Just feel that. Now, for a lot of this is going to set off error messages, yeah? Particularly when we start thinking about how much we earn and how we can't pay our bills really reliably, or we can't take a vacation because we can't save for it. Our culture causes all kinds of confusions about all of this. And then more specifically, our families, which are a subset of the culture we're in, but it's the most powerful part of it for us. Our families struggled with worth and money historically. They've had wounds and sufferings, betrayals, violations. And we inherit these, most of it unconsciously and invisibly. All of this seems impossible to unravel in our experience. So, how do we begin to shift all this so we can start having that respectful, abundant experience of money that is in full integrity with our values that we'd like to have? We need to start getting into the unconscious of these systems, and most specifically of our family system, which is the focus of our attention tonight. The way we do that is through something called family constellations, which most of you on the call are familiar with, but some of you may not be. So I just want to say a few words about it. Family constellations gets us in touch with the unconscious of our systems. If dreams get us in touch with our personal unconscious, family constellations get us in contact with the unconscious of our family systems. And it changes our experience of it so that we can find unexpected love, strength, support, and resources for having an entirely different experience of money, as well as much else. Our focus tonight is money, but it relates to pretty much everything. Founded by an interesting guy named Bert Hellinger. He's really old now. He's at the very end of his career. He spent 20 years doing mission work in Zululand, where he discovered from the elders there that they had an ongoing relationship with the ancestors. They understood having a proper relationship with the ancestors mattered every bit as much as a proper relationship with the living people around us. All of us have ancestors who've suffered. Sometimes the suffering is big and obvious, as in the Holocaust, slavery, or the Cherokee Walk of Tears. And sometimes it seems small and subtle, like a grandmother who lost a child but was never permitted to grieve. These losses and traumas are inherited by the next generation if they were never healed back then. The younger ones, and that's us, no matter how old you are, we're the younger ones in the system, we unconsciously turn to our ancestors and imitate them or seek to bring them healing help by having their problems in our life. This is all an attempt to love and belong for our ancestors. But what it inevitably does is unnecessarily entangle us in their suffering and just cause us a great deal of difficulty. That can manifest in eating disorders or problems with relationships, depression, or anxiety. Today our topic is difficulties with finances. We may go to therapists or doctors to heal these problems, but if we don't widen our frame and include the distress of our ancestors, we actually never get to the source of the problem, and there's no healing. And all of this is often the invisible source of our money problems. So I invite you to just take a moment. We're going to be doing a deeper exercise in a few minutes, but just briefly right now, think about your ancestors. What do you know? What stories have you heard? Stories of poverty, of betrayal, getting money at the expense of others, enormous losses. A bunch of us are children or grandchildren of people who went through the Great Depression and lost everything. What do you know about this history? And as you think about it, just notice in your heart, what do you feel? Most of us, when we begin to do this, begin to feel some ache for them. Maybe some anger, maybe some sadness, maybe a lost or confused feeling. This is us resonating lovingly with their suffering. And we can clear this. This is the good news, and we're going to do some of that tonight. Before we do that, I just want to share a little bit of my personal story, because I have a really good story with money that I want to share. We all have different things. Some people on the call may be dealing with indebtedness or chronic underemployment, or if you're self-employed, the inability to bring enough clients in, or struggles with asking for money, that kind of thing. My problem throughout my entire adult life was a distinctly childish relationship with financial responsibility. Truly, I would cover my eyes and put my fingers in my ears as long as I could. I would not fill out forms. I wouldn't do what I needed to do. Wasted enormous amounts of money on fees. Was not conscious about how I was spending my money. Yeah, in a way that did me a great deal of damage. About 2 years ago, after some of this work I'm sharing with you, quite spontaneously, without trying too hard, I suddenly got interested in my finances, both my personal and my business ones. And over about 3 months, I explored all of my different finances and began to put things in order. When I hit some roadblocks, I got help, some professional help. But overall, I found it really wasn't that hard. And strangely enough, I began to discover that financial responsibility and digging into my finances and ordering them and understanding them was actually kind of fun, which was completely bizarre to me because it truly used to send me into panics. Since then, I've established a responsible set of practices that have been pretty easy to maintain. I've begun saving, and I know what I spend. But much more important, I no longer worry about my money. Even on those occasions, and they do arise when things get a little tight, I trust my experience of money. And that's what I want for you. Whatever you want with money. Mine is pretty simple. I don't need a lot. I intentionally keep my life simple because that's in line with my values. But whatever your values are, I want you to be able to trust your experience of your finances and of money and feel good about it. So let's shift into an exercise, our main exercise for the evening. And this is probably going to take about 20 minutes or so. So I'm going to invite you to find a comfortable spot for yourself. It's going to feel like a meditation, which it basically is, but Constellations believes that we will actually be engaging the field of your ancestors, not merely imaginatively, but really in some mystical way, what the Roman Catholics call the communion of saints. And as we prepare to do that, I would like you to choose for yourself an issue you have with money or finances or debt or anything like that. If you're self-employed, difficulties you have with pricing or attracting clients who can't afford you or that kind of thing. Just think of any issue. It does help to keep it specific and simple. So now that you've chosen something, well done. I invite you to get yourself comfortable, find your breath, find your center, probably close your eyes. Notice your heart and your breathing. Just quiet yourself a little bit. Notice how you feel without judgment, without needing to change it at all. And to begin with, imagine yourself in a large space, a really, really big space. And in front of you are the biggest set of bleachers you've ever seen. Some of us have been watching the World Cup, something at least that big or bigger. And on the bottom row of those bleachers stand your parents. And on the next row is their parents for your grandparents. And behind them, their parents, 8. And behind their parents, 16. Behind them, theirs, 32. Behind them, theirs, 64. Notice how fast the line is growing. Behind them, theirs, 128. And in a few short rows, you have over 1,000 people in a line. This is your family, your ancestors, the ones from whom life came to you. Notice the happy ones and the sad ones, the wise ones and the fools, the ones with easy lives, the ones with the hard lives. Notice them all. Notice the ones that seem quite admirable, and the ones perhaps you might not like to go to Thanksgiving dinner with. You would prefer not to have as your ancestors. And since we're in charge of this, why don't you take out those ones and place someone you like better in their spot? And notice immediately you disappear. So let's not do that. Let's put the one back that belongs there. Each one needs to be there for you to be alive. And we're glad you're here. Now, I would like you to notice also another set of qualities. The experiences of money. Now, probably, you know a little bit of history maybe, but not a lot. And what you're going to do is allow for the knowing field to reveal to you these things in your family. And you're just going to get an impression, a little bit of an impression of what you notice. Yeah? So notice the ones who dealt with terrible, terrible poverty. And notice the ones that were okay with money. They were just fine. Notice the ones who got their wealth at the expense of others somehow. And notice the ones who used their money honorably and generously. Notice, and this is extremely common, the places in the family where there is conflict over money, often over inheritances between siblings. And then notice the families in which money was used to create closeness and harmony. Notice this is very common. Great wealth suddenly lost, either through theft or economic change or poor financial planning. And then notice the ones where money was used responsibly and never threatened in any way. Notice the places in the family where money was stolen from others, and in other parts where money was given to others. Notice all this and more. Just feel it. It's more than anyone could specifically track ever. We're not asking you to specifically track any of this, but just to get an impression. Notice it all, and with quiet dignity, include it all. Decide now, just allow it all to be. You don't need to prove of anything. You don't have to like a lot of it. Most of us wouldn't. It's not about approving or liking. Just noticing it's part of your history. It is true. And it's part of the dignity of each of those people that they had those experiences. Now, bring your personal problem to mind that you chose at the beginning of this exercise. And allow your instinct to find a corner or two of the family related to your problem. The ones who kind of had this problem originally, either literally or maybe a little metaphorically. You don't have to have a firm sense of this. Don't worry about that. Just an impression. Is it on Dad's side or Mom's side? How far back is it? 1, 2, 4, 8 lines? Just get an impression. There are going to be a few of on the call who are going to know specifically the trauma your experience is related to because you know the history and you can just tell. Most of you, it won't be that clear. We seek to help or heal or include those who have suffered in this way by imitating it unconsciously in our own lives. Just notice who you're entangled with in your problem with money. You are deeply connected to them. These ones are very important. And notice the love under the suffering or the violation that may have gotten blocked or distorted back then. If you can. Sometimes all of this is so fraught and brings up such strong, difficult feelings that we can't quite notice that. That's fine. But imagine, perhaps, that underneath it all, perhaps there was love. Now, here is the simple healing movement for you. And I invite you to literally do this with your body. You're all on mute, so you can say this aloud. I invite you to bow your body and hold your bow to them. And these are the words that you say. I honor the dignity of your fate. Thank you for my life. Please bless me as I choose another way. And sometimes it's useful to repeat those words. I'll say them. They're very ritualistic. I honor the dignity of your fate. Thank you for my life. Please bless me as I choose another way. And perhaps you will hear them say in response, of course. Notice whatever it was a while ago. It's far enough back. They are surely at peace about it by now. And just breathe a bit. As you notice how you shift your relationship with these ancestors in a really, really important way. Instead of trying to become bigger and help them and save them by taking on the problem, you are being invited to let yourself let go of the burden and instead receive life from them, as complicated as they are, exactly as they are. Now, I'm going to also ask you to allow your instinct to bring your attention to parts of your family that did not experience this problem, who had a better relationship with wealth that you would like to have too. Just scan them and notice where there's an energy around money that feels good to you. It will be somewhere. We all have big enough families. And when you notice that, ask for their special blessing on you too. Bow your head and receive it. Just look at the whole family, honor their fate, and accept your life from them with all of your adult dignity. How does that feel? How does it feel to be in a much more proper relationship with your ancestors? I hope you're noticing some relief. And whatever you are experiencing, please honor that experience. Notice this all one last time. Allow the image of your ancestors to disperse, knowing that they are always with us, as the Zulu elders understood. We're always part of our family soul. But allow the image to disperse. And we slowly return to ordinary consciousness. And as you come back to regular awareness, I'd like to invite someone who would like to either share a bit of their experience or if you have a question or comment about it. Give you a moment. It usually takes a little time for people to fumble with their phones and find their keypads and put in *6. But if you would like to ask a question or just share what that was like, we would really, really like to hear from you. So press *6 on your phone keypad if you would like to speak. And I do invite you to not be polite. My experience is that often everybody is polite. If there's something you'd like to say or a question you have, please go for it. *6. Hi, who is this? Hello? You may have your own mute on your phone. Because if you're speaking, we can't hear you.
Sorry.
That's all right. It happens.
Hi, this is Elizabeth.
Hi, Elizabeth.
So, first of all, thank you for doing this. It's fascinating. What an opportunity to be present with ancestors who, frankly, I don't know very much about. So getting to know them, even though I don't know them.
Mm.
And so that was fascinating. But I can feel, like, as you said, so much angst.
Yeah.
It was almost overwhelming angst, even though I know I have ancestors who were great with money and, you know, mostly got it and then readily dispersed it. you know, I could feel those people, but man, there's a lot of angst. And so at the end of the meditation or the practice, you know, it didn't feel relief. In fact, it felt more full of angst at that point. So what do you suggest for continuing to do this practice and assist, I guess that's the way to put it, assist your ancestors in release, or assist yourself in getting released from whatever they're, you know, settling that.
Yeah. So a couple of small things, and obviously this is a part of what I do ongoingly with people, is to address just that question. But the one thing to first notice is how compelling the suffering is, yeah? It is more attractive to our attention than the resourcefulness or the ease in our family systems. You know?
That's exactly what struck me. I was like, wow, even
it's
the
remarkable.
Great goodness is
not
enough to overcome
whatever
that poverty was, deep, hurt.
So Bert Hellinger has a wonderful sentence, which is that children are great in love, but small in understanding. What he meant by that is that in love, they feel that suffering. Yeah? And we're the children in that sentence, by the way. We feel the suffering. We feel it was unresolved back then. And we seek to resolve it by staying connected to it until it can be over for them. The problem, of course, is that it's like, we can't do that, right? It's not our part of our pay grade. And so the simplest version of this practice, and there are more advanced versions of this, is to go back to the bleachers, go back to the space, and this is for everybody on the call who may have had a similar experience. Go back to that space and repeat that practice. Bow to the ones who suffered. And we say the words, I honor the dignity of your fate. Thank you for my life. Please bless me as I choose another way. Because relief and clearing comes from recognizing that we are small and they are big. And their suffering is over. Now, that's a fairly reductionistic or simplistic answer to your question, Elizabeth, because constellation work can do a lot more fancy moves when things are really sticky. And what we're going to presuppose that if this did not create immediate relief, there's something hidden in there that remains to be seen, included, and honored. And so I invite you to go back and just, like, it can be like a joker, a wild card. The thing that hasn't been seen yet that needs to be included. And bow to that, too, whatever that is. Is that at all helpful?
Yeah, that was extremely helpful.
Okay.
And I have one other question, if you don't mind, and that is,
sure,
when you use the word state,
yeah,
what do you mean by that?
Golly, that's a really good question. In this context, fate really just means what happened. And that's kind of it. And I remain agnostic about the rest of it. But it was their life. And they didn't have a different one, apparently. Is that helpful?
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, yeah. my inclination in this work is to keep it as simple as you can. It's pretty agnostic about things like why did things end up the way they did, or, you know, who's in charge here, and did we choose the whole experience, and that kind of stuff. We just kind of honor it as human experience. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Is there someone else who has a question for us? Just hit star 6 if you have a question or a comment. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
This is Sharon. So
what's
I was looking
question?
At, yeah. So it was interesting what you said about things being sticky. Because I kept saying to this ancestor about maybe 3 generations back, I honor the dignity of your fate and thank you for my life. And please bless me as I choose another way. And but there was just like something sticky. And I finally realized that I couldn't figure out, there was like this tightness in my body. And what it was they didn't understand what it was that I was trying to relieve that ancestor of. Like, I didn't know what it was that was sticking to me. And and even though I thought I was, like, honoring the dignity of the fate, I didn't really know what the fate was that was sticking
right.
to me, and I couldn't recognize it. And it was even more than that. It was like, I had misidentified it completely, like I had a completely opposite idea. And then gradually it just sort of dawned on me that that was the person who came to America because the inheritance went to his brother of the company.
Mm.
So he came to San Francisco, and then they had a little grocery store, and then it fell down in the earthquake. And they lost everything. And then they came to Oakland and they started another little grocery store. But I couldn't figure out what it was that was sticky, because there's so much there to respect.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
what it was
yeah.
was his resentment that he didn't.
Oh.
That he had to come to America and he had to have this difficult
yeah.
life. And somewhere
yeah.
way, way in the early part of his life was this feeling of resentment. And so I was ashamed, like, therefore, you should never receive a gift of any
right.
kind of inheritance at all, whether it's
mm-hmm.
money or anything, like no gifts from ancestors because he didn't get his. So that was the thing. It was sort of weird, like, not what I expected at all.
Yeah. That's a really important noticing. Resentment's a powerful energy in families. What we kind of would say is, you know, we regret that he could not find a way around the resentment. We would have liked that he could have found a way to live his life without that. But living in resentment was his fate. It was his life, and we just bow to it. And we see,
yeah.
bless me as I choose a different way. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah,
and
I had this feeling of relief.
Of course. Yeah.
Yeah, of course. He's like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No big deal.
Yeah.
No big deal. I just came to America, and therefore you're an American. Yahoo!
Well, and this is something we discover over and over again, that although we're resonating with the suffering, which is sustained in the field, the suffering's actually over for them. Yeah? So we're continuing to resonate with something that's over. It's done.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
yeah, yeah. And part of constellation work is helping us to connect with the completion of it, which is always a great relief when we can do that. So thank you. Thank you for sharing that, Sharon.
Yeah.
We have one more person with their hand up, but I'm going to move on at this point in time. We're going to have a chance for one more question later on. So there might be time for it then, or there's always, I invite people to email me afterwards if you have any questions. So when you start to get underneath the top layer of your experience of money, what you may notice that something is simply off. And I think that's what we're hearing in these sharings. Maybe something hard to put your finger on. It's like when you have some physical symptoms and you tell your doctor, something's off. I like to think of the analogy of, you've hurt your knee and the doctors, do all these kinds of treatments for your knee and it still hurts. And then you go to a cranial sacral practitioner and she says, no, it's in your neck. And she fixes your neck and the pain in your knee goes away. Yeah? That's what this stuff is like. Persistent money problems are evidence of something out of order in the system that we're a part of. And we can't really shift it without finding a more proper relationship to the system. With our culture, it's a relationship of respect, even as we recognize the deep dysfunctions that are around us when it comes to money and wealth. And when it comes to our families, which are the main source of both our positive and negative experiences of money, we can rediscover the love flowing underneath all the suffering, reconnect with that, and start to experience something new, all without really having to try to change, just finding the new way appearing, almost without much effort or with an effort that we enjoy applying to the situation. Over the years, I've seen so many talented and passionate people utterly unable to get any traction with money, or who stay stuck in patterns that cause them pain, like indebtedness or spending addictions, like me with my childish and irresponsible management of finances. These patterns remain stuck year after year. They're stuck because the experience of the family hasn't changed yet, because what's behind it is invisible, and we just don't know how to get to that, how to access it. And if we're going to change these patterns that so many of us on this call have, we must work with our invisible family systems that are the source of the problem. Now, what I've also noticed that there really is no magic bullet to solve this. It's a layered healing that takes place with constellations. So we can get to the different layers of unresolved suffering with respect to wealth and money and poverty, and allowing uncomplicated love to replace bit by bit the unresolved suffering until it is clear. So because of all these noticings, I've created an upcoming 6-session teleseries that actually starts next week. This is your introduction to it. It's called You Are of Infinite Value, Healing Money Problems in Your Life That Come from Your Grandparents and Their Parents. It's the 6th time I'm teaching the series, and each time I rediscover the astonishing power of getting into rapport with our ancestors, whomever they were and whatever they were like, and some of them were not so nice, so we can receive their strength anyway and improve our experience of wealth. I'd really like everyone on this call to participate if it's right for you. So I'm going to talk about it for just a few minutes and then invite you to join me. So that you know what I'm offering, I really do need to go into it in a little bit of detail, which will give you the opportunity to consider whether it might be a good match for you. And after that, we'll have the raffle and then one last integrating exercise. So this series that starts next week is going to cover a number of really important topics, including getting to know your family soul, even more than what I think it was Elizabeth who said that, she didn't know much about her family, but she was kind of getting to know them. It's kind of a sweet feeling. Really getting to know your family's experience of money in more detail than we did tonight, so that the work is personal to you and what you specifically inherited. Clearing out issues, and this is really important, with your mother and father, because these are the first and important influences on our experience of money, especially our fathers. This is really important. The ability to receive father strength, and if it gets blocked, is often very much related to our experience of money. Discovery about what it means to belong to your family securely, no matter what they're like. And finally, really deeply connecting with what you'd really like. in a way that matches your values, needs, and preferences about money. So what is it going to include? First, there are going to be 6 1-and-a-quarter-hour sessions over 6 weeks on the phone, just like this, on Thursdays, 5:30 to 6:45 p.m. Pacific time. So if you're in a different time zone, you'll have to figure that out for yourself, starting July 10th and going through August 14th. It's also going to include the support of doing this deep constellation work in a group, which increases the energy of what we're doing with incredible healing effect. Even when we don't hear each other's voices, on the call, we transcend space and time, and there's connection. We create a field together. You'll also get recordings of each call so that you can repeat exercises on your own or catch up if you need to miss a class. There are going to be weekly PDFs emailed each week to continue the exercises on your own. There will be unlimited email coaching as part of this. And finally, if the group's big enough, we're going to have a Facebook group for the group to share, ask questions, grow together, and support each other. So who is this for? It really is for anyone who is struggling in any way with money and wants a solution that is in alignment with your integrity and values. It's also for people who are looking for an exceptionally convenient and affordable way to do a bunch of change around this money stuff. Because compared to other kinds of things, this format allows it to be really affordable and really easy to engage. And my guarantee to anybody who enrolls is that if at any point you want to withdraw for any reason, you'll be refunded the amount at a prorated basis for the amount of the program you participated in, no questions asked. So at this point, I assume you're wondering just how much it's going to cost. For reference, I just want to note that a 2-hour private session with me is $235, but this whole series of 6 sessions is only going to cost $295. There are also a couple of extras I want to mention. First, you can bring a friend for only 2/3 of the cost for $197, so you get to share that savings between the two of you. And secondly, if you want to add a private session with me, which is often really useful as your own issues start to arise, you can do that for a nice discount over the usual price that I charge. It's important to know that in order to be able to plan the series and get everyone registered, it really helps me to have people register as early as possible. So the $295 is good until July 8th. After that, the cost is going to go up to $345. So if you want to join in, do it. I invite you to do that really soon. And the next question is, how do you sign up? So this is a time to pick up your pen and paper. I've got a link for you. It's a little long. Don't worry about it too much because I will send it to you tomorrow in an email as well. But if you want to check it out tonight, it's leslienips.com/calendar-events/money-ancestors-teleseries/. One more time, leslienips.com/calendar-events/money-ancestors-teleseries/. So I am going to email out the link to everyone again tomorrow, along with a recording. Now, FYI, those of you who signed up for this on Facebook or on Meetup, I don't have your email, so you need to email me directly at leslienips.com in order to receive the recording and get all this information or to ask me any questions. So please email me at leslie@leslienips.com if you have any questions about any of this. And now it's time for the raffle. So drum roll. And I'm going to take out a name. Stina Pope. Hey! I've known Stina a really long time. Excellent. So, Stina, I'll be in touch with you about that, and we can schedule that for you. So, at this point, I invite everyone just to take a moment again. Close your eyes. Find your breath. And check in just one more time with the bleachers where your ancestors are. Notice each one needs to be exactly where they are for you to be here. And now one more thing to notice. Notice all the other people on the call with their ancestors. We are in a huge hall. We have 25 people on the call right now. Over the course of this call, we've had about 30 people. So just imagine all of us in front of our ancestors. Notice how easy it is for you to have gratitude for the other people's ancestors, for giving the others on the call the life that they have. Just bow to those other ancestors and thank them for the lives of everyone on the call. And you can do that for anyone else you love in your life. And notice the others on the call bowing to your ancestors in gratitude for your life. We're glad each one of us is here right now with all of our struggles, all of our challenges, all of our learnings, and all of our resources. It is an honor to be on the call with each one of you. And I want to thank everyone who joined the call tonight. I hope you leave with something new that you needed and that carries you forward. For everyone who feels called to join the series, I look forward to hearing from you soon. And for those of you who don't, I also bless you in your work and hope that somehow we connect again down the road. Thank you to each one of you, and good night.